It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
By definition, the White House physician is apolitical, but the level of detail that he divulged today at the request of the president was a real finger in the eye to the president's critics. Another day, another remarkable moment in the White House as White House physician Dr. Ronny Jackson gave the most detailed assessment of a president's health anyone has ever seen.
He said, I want you to get out there and I want you to talk to him and I want you to answer every single question they have. Two reasons. One is because the president wants me up here, and two, because as of Friday, I was pretty excited about getting up here and talking about his health.
Jackson revealed President Trump is overweight, a BMI hovering right around 30, the edge of obesity. His cholesterol is also a bit high, but Jackson revealed that a lifetime of abstention from alcohol and tobacco has made the president's cardiac health something to behold.
He had great findings across the board, but the one that stands out more than anything to me is his cardiac health. His cardiac health is excellent.
For an hour, Jackson held court, answering questions that sometimes veered into whether Twitter was good for the president's health. On a far more serious topic, Jackson said President Trump asked him specifically to administer a cognitive test, an answer to critics who say the president does not possess the mental stability to hold office. The president's score? Perfect.
It screens for any type of cognitive issues, Alzheimer's and all those other things. And the fact that the president got, 30 out of 30 on that exam, I think that, there's no indication whatsoever that he has any cognitive issues.
All right. So that was Dr. Ronny Jackson, an hour briefing the White House press corps on President Trump's health. Sandy Rios in the morning with you. Pretty interesting. I don't know if you've heard from other outlets that Ronny Jackson was an Iraqi war pretty much a hero. He was, operated the emergency services for the soldiers there and highly respected. He was President Bush's private physician. He was Barack Obama's private physician. And now he's President Trump's. And so that makes it really awkward for those in the press that are dying, like even John Roberts, the first thing he led with, what? That the president is obese. He didn't talk about how healthy he was first. John has an attitude. Of course, he always says, I tell you that. He has an opinion on this. He's part of the press corps, and he's influenced by them. So he tries to do a fair and balanced report, but no, manages to twist things around as best he can to help the cause of the press corps. Nevertheless, I digress. The bottom line was that the president is in excellent health. But, of course, that did not make the media personalities happy at all. Let's listen to this.
His actions have been described as unpresidential, as unhinged, and sometimes even crazy. Now, that word crazy can be interpreted several different ways. It gets said a lot more in private than it gets said on TV.
He's completely detached from reality. If this is not what the 25th Amendment was drafted for, people close to him say is mentally unfit, that people close to him during the campaign told me had early stages of dementia.
The guy can't go put one coherent sentence after another. He's off. He can't stay on subject.
He's very sharp, and he's very articulate when he speaks to me. And I've never known him to repeat himself, around me. I found no reason whatsoever to think that the president has any issues whatsoever with his thought process.
All right, so very inconvenient report for the press. It's just so eager to destroy this president. They really are. It's amazing. They reminded me when you watch that interaction with them, because they were shouting out these ridiculous questions. You mean he eats at McDonald's all the time and he still has this kind of report? How can that be? These are the kind of the questions that they were asking in that press briefing. It reminded me, all of them snarky. Were you ever in school? Any of you? Raise your hand. Did you ever have a substitute teacher? Did you ever have people in your class, maybe you, who made fun of the substitute teacher who misled them, who insulted them while the class watched and laughed and enjoyed it, and maybe four or five people playing off of each other, giving the sub teacher kind of a really hard time. That's what that reminded me of, sort of like getting energy out of no control, no kind of accountability, but kind of having a field day playing to each other, but really in the process looking like fools, really like fools. These are the people, the serious journalists that are supposed to be telling us what's happening in Washington, D.C. And these are the things that they're interested in. They spent an hour grilling Dr. Ronny Jackson, and Dr. Jackson said that President Trump himself asked for this described later as a very rigorous mental health exam. There were 30 questions. He scored 30 out of 30, and that's what Dr. Jackson reported. He said there's just no cognitive problems. He didn't say you're off base, but that's what he said. He said it, but he didn't say it. And so then, of course, they have a question about Trump was answering a question in a press briefing, and he slurred his words. And so here's the question.
God bless you. God bless Israel. God bless the Palestinians, and God bless the United States. Thank you very much. Thank you.
One of my ENT consultants was involved in that. We evaluated him. We checked everything out, and everything was normal. We even went so far as to do an ultrasound of his parotid glands and a few other things. I think that I had given the president some medication, specifically some Sudafed, over the days previous, and I think that I had inadvertently kind of dried up his secretions a little bit more than I intended to.
All right, so that was the press briefing. If you have a chance to see it, I think you can find it online, and it's just an amazing thing. And I think it's one of the other reasons why people are just not. How can we trust the media? How can we trust people like that? You know, so many of them are young reporters, many of them are millennials who have had very little life experience. They really don't know very much. And the thing that I have noticed in Washington with these young pundits is that they're very self-assured, but they don't really know what they don't know. They are so ignorant about history, all kinds of history, with American history, the history of the world. All they know is the area in which they live, and they're very smug about it. And so they're not qualified, and this is who's telling us what to think about what's happening at the events in Washington. It's pretty amazing. Yesterday, actually, Jim Acosta, the president was meeting with, I'd forgotten the country, but it was one of the stands countries. And the president was meeting with him. It was an official visit. And so at the end of the visit, and I'm throwing Rob a curve here, this will be clip 13, Jim Acosta from CNN was badgering the president, and here's how it sounded.
Everybody for being here.
Ms. President, did you say that you want more people to come in from Norway? Did you say that you wanted more people
Thank
to come
you
in
very
from
much.
Norway? Is that true, Ms.
Thank
President?
Thank you very much. I want them to come in from everywhere. Everywhere. Thank you very much, everybody.
Just Caucasian or white countries, sir? Or do you want people to come in from other parts of the world where there are people of color?
Thank you. Jim, thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, so that was a Trump staffer. You heard that young voice. Jim, thank you. The president actually kicked him out of the room, said out. Jim Acosta has a history of badgering the president. And, of course, it looks like he's been assigned to do that by the head of CNN. There's been a real war between the president and CNN, who's called it repeatedly fake news, but for good reasons. By the way, remember when Sarah Sanders Huckabee shut down Jim Acosta because Acosta told Sarah that journalists make, quote, unquote, honest mistakes, but that doesn't make them fake news. And then she said, when journalists make honest mistakes, they should own up to them. Sometimes, and a lot of times, you don't. And then Jim Acosta tried to interrupt, and Sarah says, I'm sorry, I'm not finished. There is a very big difference between making honest mistakes and purposely misleading the American people. You cannot say it's an honest mistake when you are purposely putting out information you know is false. So that was one other episode with Jim Acosta. He's also gotten into big arguments with other members of the administration, including, remember this fight he got into with Stephen Miller, who was the immigration hawk that serves the president. I told you he was with Jeff Sessions for years before that. So CNN, in the middle of this breaking news about a terror attack in New York, you might remember, they focused on a story about the president's drinking diet soda. That's what they were reporting during this, in the aftermath of this terrorist attack in New York. That's how ridiculous CNN has gotten. So Jim Acosta was kicked out of the White House yesterday, and he claimed, of course, he was mistreated. But you heard the staffer say, thank you, Jim, when he was leaving, even though he was being a horse's patoot. That's what he was being. All right. So back to what's really important. It's the budget. It's the funding for the government, which ends Friday night at midnight. It is the fight over whether to give amnesty to millions of people, so-called dreamers. But it's not just the dreamers that the Gang of Six is asking, the Dick Durbins and the Jeff Flakes and Lindsey Graham. They're not just asking for the dreamers. They're asking for millions of people to be amnesty. That's the unbelievable part about this. And they are not asking for funding for the border wall. They say they are, but it isn't real funding. It's an incredible thing they've tried to pass by this president. And so now, are the Democrats going to go to the wall for this immigration bill that you're so excited about on Friday night? Will they not cooperate in establishing funding for the government? The two should not be conflated, but they are. Because that's how you get things passed that aren't popular. You say, I won't vote on funding the government if you don't pass this thing. That's how it works. So this thing happens to be amnesty for millions of people. So here we go. We're hurtling toward that midnight deadline. We're going to be talking with Congressman Dave Brat today in the last segment, and he's going to join us. There's so much going on behind the scenes. And, of course, as an economist, no one could explain better the ins and outs. And, of course, as an expert on the immigration situation. Remember, he won his seat from Eric Cantor in a surprise victory over the immigration issue. And so he'll join us in just a little bit. But Mike Emanuel had a good report last night on what's happening with the shutdown and the DACA agreement. Let's listen.
The one-year anniversary of President Trump's inauguration could be marked by a government shutdown. The government's due to run out of funding late night Friday night, and Democrats are pressing for a DACA deal this week.
I think it would be a terrible mistake to shut down the government, and particularly while we are negotiating in good faith, just because we're not meeting their deadline.
One way out would be a continuing resolution, likely until mid-February. Negotiators are also discussing whether to include a long-term children's health insurance extension or $81 billion in disaster relief money to win the support of at least nine Democrats in the Senate.
This is no way to run a country, to continually have cliffhanger votes. I think we are facing a shutdown this Friday. If we can't at least come to the architecture of a deal agreed to by leadership in the White House.
Another short-term extension would anger lawmakers who are concerned that each day of a stopgap measure hurts national security. And this would be the fourth stopgap since last October 1st.
We need to reach a solution for the sake of our military, because our military leaders have warned us on the Armed Services Committee that our nation's defense is at stake.
But Congress has struggled to reach a two-year spending agreement, with Republicans pushing for more money for national security and Democrats demanding a similar increase in domestic priorities.
We want a clean budget deal, and I think a number of prominent Democrats have come out and said that they don't feel like attaching DACA to the budget is a good idea, and so hopefully we'll stick to that.
Many Republicans are betting Democrats on the ballot in 2018 won't want to explain a government shutdown over DACA to voters. However, tensions are clearly up.
All right, Mike Emanuel on Fox News last night. That's a good report, but of course there's a great deal more detail that we'll get in with Congressman Dave Brat in the last segment. Coming up next, I have some various interesting things to share with you. And so one of them is just an update on Bradley Manning and an update from what the military is doing about transgenders being accepted into the military. That's just a whole other distressing topic that we need to talk about. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program that's been around for 25 years, and they have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $1 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money. Think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have a lot to offer? Well, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23. 855-PSALM-23.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
It's amazing how so many people think that after they retire, they have nothing more to be a good steward over. After all, their financial resources may be greatly diminished. Let's not forget what we are to have stewardship over. In Numbers 8:25, the Lord told Moses this in reference to the Levites. But at the age of 50, they must retire from their regular service and no longer work. Listen, we have stewardship responsibility of the gospel of Jesus Christ first. The question is not what we do when we retire. The question ought to be, what form of service are we retiring to?
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. There may be a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit Truett.edu today.
Mick Whistler is the pastor of Grand Lake United Methodist Church in Salina, Ohio. The other day, he urged parishioners to set aside $1 a week, just $1, to demonstrate the power of a unified congregation. About 3 weeks later, he had everyone bring those dollar bills to church, the grand total more than $3,500. But instead of sending all that cash to a foreign mission field, Pastor Whistler made a stunning announcement from the pulpit. The money, he said, would go to workers at a nearby restaurant, the local Waffle House. Oh, it was quite a scene when that great big group of Methodists descended on the Waffle House, and the reaction from the waitresses and the grill cooks, well, that was something else. Joyful tears and grateful hugs. It was a lesson on cheerful giving at a Waffle House, where the hash browns and the blessings come scattered, covered, and smothered. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
My priority is to increase border security and to build that wall that will work. Walls work. We have examples of that. We have documented data. And I don't know about anyone saying it's last generation's technology. 2006, as you know, we had a bipartisan agreement in the Secure Fence Act, which Senators Obama, Clinton, and Schumer all voted for. 92% of those that were arrested and taken into custody by ICE were criminals. I believe that we can and should do better for the American people to ensure that those who come here are able to contribute, willing to contribute, and to assimilate into our communities. I'm happy to work with any member and every member who would like to work on this with the Department of Homeland Security. It's a very, very important issue.
All right, that was Kirsten Nielsen, Department of Homeland Security Director. She was appearing before Congress and, of course, asked all kinds of questions and foolish, as usual. You know, like what kind of language was used in the meeting, trying to, again, smear the president. And she basically responded by saying there was all kinds of horrible language in that meeting. I heard all kinds of cursing. And she also denied that she heard that the president said anything. They said what it was reported that he said about Haiti being an asshole. So that, you know, they had to talk about that because that's important. Border security, not so much. But the language used in the meeting, now that is the important thing, and that's the way it goes. And that's the little dance that the media and the left in Congress, mostly Democrats, play. They work together. They're doing a great dance, and they're taking this country in a trajectory, they're trying to, that is so dangerous. You know, I was just thinking how grateful we should be that Donald Trump won the election. Not that he's a perfect man, not that he's the savior of the world, not that he's not a flawed person, because he is. Gee, I kind of think everyone is. But some wonderful things have happened, and I have to tell you, I think he is standing in the way, in between us and what will be likely the total destruction of the country. And so when you laugh about his quirks and people enjoy making fun of him, I enjoy making fun of him sometimes too. He's funny. But remember that we have a lot to be grateful for, and especially all the abuse that he takes. Who could do that? Who could take that kind of abuse on a regular basis and have so few friends, even in the White House on the inside? You know, I listened to an interview with his first wife on British television just yesterday. And she was, of course, they tried to get her to say all kinds of things. But the one thing she said, he is a stable genius. She also said that she's glad he tweets, because she said it's the media tries to put words in your mouth. But when he tweets, that's Donald's voice. That's what she said. Then they ask her, of course, you were married to him and the marriage ended badly. How did he how did he treat you? And she said, he treated me beautifully. He treated me with great respect. We did all kinds of business deals together. He never did it. They asked him, of course, did he hit you? That wasn't the question, but that's what they were asking. And she said, no, he was always respectful to me. And they said, yes, but the divorce report said all of this stuff. She said, that was the attorneys. That was the lawyers. She said, as soon as we got them out of it, that Donald and I became friends again. And she calls the White House all the time. So it was a disappointing interview for Piers Morgan on British television. But I digress. I want to go to something else, because I've spoken. Last Friday, we did an interview with Elaine Donnelly and Walt Heyer. Elaine is the founder of Center for Military Readiness, and Walt is a former transgendered woman. He is now a man again. He has been married for 20 years. He's absolutely delightful. Walt Heyer has a blog for anyone struggling with this. If you know anyone struggling with gender confusion, Walt is just a great resource. Okay, along with that, as of the very first part of this new year, 2018, transgenders, against the wishes of the commander-in-chief, and because of the courts, transgenders are now being accepted into the military. And so I want you to, this is an article that Walt Heyer wrote in the Daily Signal just this week. And he tells the story of a gentleman that he's working with that had 167 sex change surgeries. And the title is, He Lives in a World of Regret. Walt tells the story, Blair Logston. He had 167 surgeries from 1987 to 2005 in his quest to resolve gender dysphoria with surgery. In 1987, at the age of 26, he underwent the first of many cosmetic surgeries to change his gender sex appearance from male to trans female. Within a few months, he said he deeply regretted becoming a trans woman. But for the next 5 years, he struggled trying to be a woman before undergoing a genital surgical change to restore his original male self. But peace with his gender eluded him. And Walt goes on to explain that with gender dysphoria, the feelings don't change with the surgeries. They just don't. It's not the nirvana that the left would present. And he goes on to talk about how the doctors were just reckless. They continued to do the surgeries. It cost Logson $220,000 for all of these surgeries. Logson says he has regrets. He regrets all 167 surgeries. No longer turning to the surgeons to discover his true self, he has found his true male self in following Jesus Christ. And then Walt goes on to say, what a disservice we do to these people struggling when we can't tell them that this is not normal, that there's other kinds of help, that they should not be encouraged to change their gender. They should be discouraged and to get some help that they need to find peace with who they are. And so I report that in the context of this, because now the military is taking on people who have these complicated issues. And who's going to pay for these surgeries? We're going to pay for them. That's part of what's written in here. We're going to be paying for surgeries, hormone treatments, and it's cruel to the people, the gender confused people who are going into the military to offer these services, not to mention the travesty or the wrongness of having American taxpayers pay for these things. Elaine Donnelly sent me this official DOD recommendation. It's 7 pages on what kind of underwear people should wear if they are entering the military and are in gender confusion. It goes into great detail. It says the guidance directs applicants to wear men's underwear if male genitalia has not been removed, even if the applicant identifies as female. It also still requires a pregnancy test and female undergarments for applicants who identify as male but retain female anatomy. It is just amazing, the detail. This is what the military's doing. With your money, this is what they're doing. And the courts have overruled the president's order. It wasn't an executive, it was directive, because he is the commander-in-chief. He has every right constitutionally to make these decisions, but the court countermanded it, and no one from Justice has stayed that court's decision. They say they're waiting on this study that's going to be coming out in March, but the study is being done by an Obama appointee who is an LGBT activist. He hosted a big LGBT pride celebration at the Pentagon. This is the guy overseeing the study. So you can imagine it's going to be really honest. Imagine? So the president's waiting for it, for his further decision. The courts are waiting for it. And we all know what's going to happen, don't we? We know, absolutely. And that reminds me of Chelsea Manning. I talked to you yesterday about Bradley, who has had full gender reassignment to become Chelsea. And I told you that, you know, he was, of course, he leaked all this classified information. National security experts say that it put people's lives at risk. President Obama commuted his sentence. He was sentenced to 30 years. And so now he's out, and now he's running for Senate. Doug McElwee has a follow-up report yesterday on Fox News. Let's listen.
I'm Chelsea Manning, and I approve this message.
With the release of this ad, the once incarcerated former Army private, 30-year-old Chelsea Manning, and now she is running in the Maryland Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate seat held by 74-year-old Ben Cardin.
We don't need more or better leaders. We need someone willing to fight.
It's a long shot. It was Manning who, as an Army intelligence specialist in Iraq, sneaked this inflammatory video to WikiLeaks showing U.S. Apache helicopters accidentally firing on civilians and journalists, their cameras mistaken for guns. Manning also leaked over 500,000 classified documents and diplomatic cables. President Obama commuted her 35-year sentence during his last days in office.
Justice has been served.
Prompting President Trump to call her an ungrateful traitor. Her record would disqualify most candidates, but Manning believes it's just the opposite.
And I'm just like, okay, the fact that you're telling me I shouldn't do this is the reason why I should.
Indeed, in a political era marked by upheaval, voters remain angry, and Deep Blue Maryland has an embarrassing uniformity to its political class.
All the major office holders are men. All the members of Congress, the two U.S. senators, the governor, the comptroller, Speaker of the House.
As a former man, now transgendered female, Manning may bring a unique appeal to some progressives. But like Alabama Republicans found with Roy Moore, mainstream Maryland Democrats may find Manning a bridge too far.
This is a total mess. I mean, no position running for the United States Senate at all should be in prison. If she gets one vote there, it's really one vote too many.
If Manning gets more than that, a lot more than that, and somehow splits the Democratic vote, it opens the path for a third primary challenger come June and may strengthen GOP hopes in a general election in November.
Oh, it's just an amazing story. And I have to say that these kinds of decisions have real consequences. Gender confusion of taking hormones can mess with a person's mind. Do I need to explain that to any woman listening to me? But when men start taking female hormones, they go through, talk about transition. They go through the same kinds of emotional upheavals, except they're taking huge doses of them. And I know for a fact it affects their performance. I've shared a story before with you about someone I know who was a pilot who was on these hormones who started flying the plane very erratically. And I'll just stop with that. Let me just say it was a huge problem. So now we're having all these incidences of military leaders, and I'm not saying that they are gender dysphoria, I don't know, but like these Navy commanders on these two ships that had these crashes we talked about, the Fitzgerald, where 10 people were killed and just was hit by a unbelievable situations where there was just no explanation. Well, by the way, the commanders of these ships, the USS Fitzgerald and the USS John McCain, have been charged with, they've been charged with, it's a murder, but I can't find the exact wording of it, and I want to make sure I get it correctly. They've been charged with crimes committing murder and dereliction of duty and other things, and so they are going to be punished for what they did. There was no excuse for those crashes. It was dereliction of duty, and others are being punished as well. You can see why leadership matters. They have to think clearly. We cannot take on people who have such confusion. Dave Brett joins us next.
Claiming to be wise, they became fools. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. R&B singer Ginuwine is a cast member on the TV program Celebrity Big Brother UK. During an episode, English journalist India Willoughby, who self-identifies as a transgender woman, though born a male, lamented that men don't date transgender women. Willoughby then tried to kiss the R&B singer on the cheek, but he moved before the kiss landed. Following the program, the R&B singer was excoriated by many as transphobic. Missed is the fact that they just witnessed a Me Too moment, but ignored it because of the PC fascination with sexual deviancy.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, "His word was in my heart like a burning fire." Hi, this is Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word. You know, I was in my second year of college as a new believer when God put in my heart an insatiable desire to read His word. And that daily reading of God's word has shaped who I am. And every day on Exploring the Word, Bert Harper and I teach the word so that fire and love for Scripture will be in your heart as well.
Exploring the Word, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a call to worship right here on American Family Radio.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Here's a reality check on the immigration debate. If we continue taking ever more people from places that don't share our values, respect our institutions, and understand, let alone embrace our way of life, they will wind up making this country ever more like theirs. Look at Europe, afflicted with well over a million refugees, many of them from what can objectively be described as hellholes, rife with jihadist violence, corruption, and poverty. Or look here. The Centers for Disease Control estimate that over 500,000 women and girls in America either already have been or likely will be subjected to a barbaric form of sexual abuse known as female genital mutilation. FGM is illegal in the United States, but immigrants from Africa and elsewhere do it anyway. We must stop such people from fundamentally transforming this country. Now. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. I want to follow up on the story I just gave you and give you the exact wording that I promised. Former Commander Bryce Benson of the USS Fitzgerald and former Commander Alfredo J. Sanchez of the USS John McCain are being charged with dereliction of duty, hazarding a vessel, and negligent homicide. And so the Navy is taking a real hard line against these commanders. I think we should be glad. I find myself wondering about all these train accidents where it seems like we never find out exactly what happened. We know that the conductors were driving too fast, or the engineers were driving too fast. So what happened? I think we should know. I mean, I don't think we should know, but we should know that somebody was called to account, especially when there's death involved. All right, well, on Capitol Hill, there's so much drama. And I don't think we're actually hearing too much about it, but I know that our next guest knows all about it. I've told you that as of midnight on Friday night, the government will run out of money. There will be no funding. So the House and the Senate are both wrestling with this. There has to be a vote. The president has to sign it. It has to happen by midnight. And then, of course, in the mix of that is this whole business of it's a bit of blackmail. It happens all the time. This is a bill that has to pass. We have to fund the government, but the Democrats, will they or will they not hold the Republicans hostage by insisting on some kind of vote to legalize millions of immigrants in order to pass a budget for the United States? Okay, Congressman Dave Brett from the 7th District, an economist, an economics professor, a graduate of Princeton Theological School, I think a great treasure, really, that serves us in the House. And in the midst of all of this, joins us this morning. Good morning, Congressman Brett.
Hey, good morning. You're the treasure. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, all right, thank you for that. All right, let me just ask a basic question. What's happening right now? What's happening right now?
Yep, well, you nailed it. And the big new player on the block that I don't think the American people are seeing clearly is the Senate. And they're kind of the culprit in the middle of everything, right? So we in the House have been playing pretty good team ball. On the health care bill, we got to it, yes. The Senate botched it up, did a face plant on it. They couldn't vote on any bill. We did 12 appropriations bills. The Senate bombed. We have 400 bills waiting in the Senate. They're doing nothing. So now we're starting to get a little nervous because we've been playing good team ball. And we've been doing, you know, we all fortunately got the tax cut bill through. The Senate did yes on that. So that's good news. But now we're scared that when it comes to March, that's the full budget deal, right? So we're just doing little CRs right now. We're going to do another one. Well, if you keep just marching toward March, then the DACA deal really comes into play. I don't think DACA's in play on this one yet, but if we go to March and you have an omnibus, some huge budget deal, then the Democrats have more leverage, and you're going to end up with kind of a Lindsey Graham, Dick Durbin bill that doesn't do anything. Then the American people and the Republican Party will be in peril if we do that. And so we're working really hard right now to make sure that President Trump gets out the word that we need to push the Goodlatte bill. That bill has, Goodlatte was chairman of Judiciary. He's been working on these issues for 20 years. It's got an end to chain migration, the whole thing. Not a compromise on it, an end to it. It's got E-Verify in there. It's got into the visa lottery. It's got all the enforcement. It's got the wall. It's got all the basic pieces in there. And it is a compromise, right, because there is a DACA piece in there that doesn't give an amnesty and citizenship, but it does give some status for the DACA kids. And
yeah,
compared to a year ago when President Trump won, I mean, you saw how scared the left was about what the agenda would be. Well, they're getting a compromise, but the left never wants a compromise. And so we're trying to make sure we get the good bill, a vote on that this week from our leadership, you know, Paul Ryan, so that we have a strong starting point to go to the Senate and they don't get to walk all over us again, you know, for like strike four.
Let me just interject that Goodlatte bill is H.R. 4760. You've heard me mention it several times this week. It is a really good bill. Maybe we could quibble with a few things, but it is actually a wonderful bill. And let me refer you one more time to Numbers USA. We'll put it on our Facebook page again today because they provide, I think, the best way to act and communicate with your congressperson. And also they have a great chart comparing the Gang of Six bill with this Goodlatte bill with the president's proposal that helps you. And so go to our Facebook page or go to Numbers USA, and they will help you take action on this. All right, so let's talk about the House leadership, because it's always a mystery to me. I don't need to explain to you that Paul Ryan loves open borders, that he was such good buddies with Luis Gutierrez, which always appalls me because Luis Gutierrez is a socialist slash maybe even communist. I'm from Chicago, so I know his record. Paul Ryan joined with him to try to push amnesty before. He's done it many times. So now you say that you are trying to get, you and others, of course, conservatives in the House, are trying to get Paul Ryan to bring this Goodlatte bill up for a vote. What confidence do you have that he would actually do that?
Well, that's what. It's 50-50 right now. He and Kevin McCarthy, et cetera, in conference yesterday, Goodlatte got up and spoke. Raul Labrador got up and spoke. McSally got up. She's more on the moderate wing. She's one of the primary co-sponsors of the bill. I got up and spoke. We all agreed we have to have this starting position of strength, but before you negotiate. These bipartisan bills that you're referring to, we shouldn't even call them bipartisan bills, right? They're Democrat bills. They're not bipartisan at all. We think we're going to get 220 votes for the Goodlatte bill in the House. It could be a Republican-only vote, and we think we got the votes. There's some other bills out there that are, you know, Hurd and some other guys that are good guys, but they got, you know, they'll get 20 votes or something like that, right? And this is a major piece of legislation that represents decades of hard work. Lamar Smith, Goodlatte, all the guys that have been putting together these policies for decades. So this is thoughtful policy. The Senate is just doing pure politics, which is all they've done all year. And the people may not understand how cynical it is, right? They don't vote. They construct their entire legislative calendar so that they don't have to vote. Another example of that, they've already told the press, they're probably not going to do a budget for next year. They're going to deem it. And what does that mean? That means you give up all your leverage to do reconciliation again. That's how we passed the tax cuts. That's how we were going to get rid of Obamacare. And now they're going to give up the opportunity to do Republican legislation. So they're not bipartisan. They're basically pushing almost a Democrat agenda in the Senate right now. And we need to have them be held accountable.
All right, so let's go back and flesh that out even more, but let me just, with the House, now that's new news to me, because the Politico reported yesterday, what do they know? You know better than they know, that they didn't think that there would be, maybe not even be 218 votes for the Goodlatte bill. So that's news that you have 220. So why wouldn't Paul Ryan bring that up for a vote?
Well, that's the mystery. That's what we want to get through in the next day. I mean, we want that bill up. We want leadership whipping it, pushing it, and getting a vote on it, right? I mean, they did that on tax. We all worked together. Well, this is a conference agreement, right? You're going to have way more votes for this than anything else. So nothing's perfect. Like you just said, everybody can quibble with little pieces in there. But if you look at how we were successful on tax, we started off with a base and said, okay, let's work with this base text and let's make it better and better and better. And we passed it. We got to do the same on immigration. You cannot wait for a crisis situation, whip together, you know, a couple little points. The Senate language is very revealing, right? They say we want a more slimmed down trade, one thing for one thing. So what they mean is we'll end the visa lottery for 50,000 people, but add 2 million DACA. And that's what the deal is. That's the Dick Durbin, Lindsey Graham deal, right? I mean, it's not a fair trade at all. And so it's incumbent on our own leadership, and we're gonna try to have an in-house, you know, friendly conversation. Say we have to have this, and so we'll see what the leadership has to say in the next day or so.
Okay, so the best thing we can do to help right now is work through Numbers USA, and the message I'm sure that they're sending out today is to get your congressman to insist on a vote on the Goodlatte bill and to support it. And so again, go to Numbers USA, and you can weigh in on that. All right, I'm curious about something.
And Numbers USA does a great job on that. I just want to always tip of the hat to them for their great work. But also contact the Senate and tell them to do what they promised they would do and to do what's in the Republican platform, not what's in the Democrat platform.
Hmm. It's just, it really is shocking. I'm going to ask you just this is a hunch question, and maybe you can't answer this. But do you think that when the Gang of Six went in to meet with the president and Lindsey Graham, who was obviously schmoozing the president, has been for months on the golf course and in his public remarks, oh, Mr. President, blah, 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 flattery, 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 that when they presented their actual bill, which was really an affront to what the president had said that he wanted, do you think that they actually thought they would pull the wool over his eyes? Or do you think that that little Durbin, I believe, because I know he's a liar because I'm from Illinois. I've known him since he started running for Senate. He was always a liar. He started out, he's always been. People are just learning that about him. But do you think he interjected what's probably a lie about what the president actually said in order to derail the conversation and cause a shutdown? What do you think the mystery of that was?
Yeah, well, you don't know, because that's precisely the problem, because the news doesn't do the news. They started off with a soap opera for a week, and now they're finally trying to figure out what was said in the room, so it would be good if the news reported the news and we didn't have to guess at all this stuff. But yeah, no, I think you're right. They had a little deal there where they thought they could sneak one by and say, hey, you'll be the greatest president ever if you pass a nothing burger. And that's what it would have been, and it would have hurt the president tremendously.
Yes.
His base would have gone through the roof. The Republican Party would probably go down. If the Republican Party passed that Durbin bill, I mean, that's the end of the party, right? You'd have a third party erupt out of that.
Yes, because it hurts the country. It isn't just for
Absolutely.
People, novices listening. It is not about...
it's not just Republicans.
No. Well, all right, so let's talk about the Senate now. You have mentioned it, but let's go back to them more specifically. I'm hearing, too, that... Mitch McConnell wants to do this short-term CR because the 2018 elections are coming up, and after all, they did just pass that tax reform bill, and it was such a great accomplishment that they really don't need to do much, and he's willing, as you said, to give up his ability to pass a bill with just 51 votes through reconciliation. He's willing to give that up so that nothing will be done in the year 2018. Are you hearing anything contrary to that, or do you think that's the direction he's actually going?
No, I mean, he's had kind of a negative slant toward any welfare reform for, you know, able-bodied. You know, there's three states that started up in Maine. Their welfare rules went down by a half by just adding a work requirement, right? People had to just at least try to go look for a job. And when they had to do that, you put that minimal requirement in just for able-bodied folks. The welfare rules dropped by 50%. And Mitch McConnell doesn't want to, you know, inflict a vote on his Senate over something that 70% of the American people want because they're scared of their shadow. And so it's really quite something. And then, you know, there's some word on infrastructure maybe coming up, but that's about it. And that's not good enough, right? Tax is super. I mean, you cannot downplay that. But that. Our voters expected us to do that. They also expected us to repeal Obamacare. And we have to come up with a health care solution before the election, too, of some sort, something that starts to lower the price of health care. The Democrats, by the way, right, I'm talking about my own team, but the Democrats have no plan on anything, and I'm not exaggerating, right? They don't have a health care plan, a fix for Obamacare. They don't have a tax plan. They don't have a budget plan. They don't have anything. And so we got to remember to inform the American people of that also, so they can share that fact with their friends as we debate what Republicans should do, because they are blocking. They do have the ability to block everything with their 8 votes in the Senate. And so that they are putting a standstill on this budget process right now. And we have the American people gave us full power, but they can block everything we want to do with only 8 votes.
Mm. Let's talk about the deadline tomorrow night. Now, we've talked about, you know, the amnesty part of this, which is not, there's no deadline for it tomorrow night at midnight. It's the thing, it's the poison pill or the whatever, the blackmail portion of passing this funding for the government. But let's talk about funding for the government. Are there actually discussions? Are there good faith discussions going on that are happening in real time, or is there just assumption that there will be no deal, and it will be another short-term spending bill?
Now, that's in play right now. We have to see all these balls we're talking about, right? So I don't think it's going to be some simple little progress. It's got to be tied to some DACA deal that includes the Goodlatte bill. There has to be some assurances about plussing up the military without breaking the bank. We haven't brought up the bank yet, right? The deficit is expected to be about $1 trillion at the end of the year. And if we don't do something about this budget process, we're going to have $1 trillion deficits for the foreseeable future under Republican leadership. And that's probably one of the top issues that conservatives always care about is fiscal responsibility. And so the good news is with the growth rate we're seeing, we're going to pay for our tax plan, right? The Democrats have tried to, run us over with a bus on that issue, that we're not paying for it. It's paid for. If you do the math on that economic growth at 3 to 4%, it's going to pay for that tax cut. And we've always been the party of fiscal discipline. So at the end of the year, we got to show it, right? We got to show our people, hey, we're starting to turn this battleship around ever slowly, but we are turning it around, while the Democrats continuously ask for more spending on everything, not just on some things, on every single budget item they want more.
Congressman, if people want, because you're an economist, you write some really great things on your website, and you keep your voters informed in your district, the 7th District. How could people access this and get your information so they could know more about what's going on with this?
That is true. I try to summarize this stuff on a daily basis in short form, but just go to Dave Bratt, B-R-A-T, DaveBratt.com, and hit subscribe, too, so you get my email letters. And if you like what you see, share it around the country, because we're trying to do the best. This is for the whole country. And it's for Democrats, too, right? Bernie, to his credit, was much more concerned about economics than Hillary. And those Midwestern states, right, that Trump won, I mean, it was all about economics for the middle class who hasn't had a wage rate increase in 30 years. And so you'll see a lot of economics coming out. I try to get out email updates and Facebook updates on a daily basis.
Okay, so that's DaveBratt.com, and you can subscribe and get those daily email. We're almost out of time, but I want to ask you, I know that there's been a real shakeup in the House, or at least a loss of a lot of seats that weren't even expected on the Republican side, and I'm hearing that something like 40 seats may be in play. How about your own race? What's your circumstance in Virginia in the 7th District?
Yeah, well, we had a huge blue wave. I lost 3 delegates in my area. Chesterfield County went Democrat for the first time in 50 years. And some of that's because we failed on health care. And the tax bill we just passed recently, I think that's going to change, right? Usually elections are based on the pocketbook. When people see the good news of the growing economy, their kids getting multiple job offers again, their retirement plans going up under our leadership, that is a huge deal. And so hopefully that blue wave starts to subside, but we've got to do more. That's why I'm putting so much emphasis on this failure of the Senate, because we've got to do more in the next few months to show everybody that the Republicans are in charge. It's a new day. It's all good news across the board. And anybody out there that can support me, do it every way you can, right? Volunteer, financial, whatever you can do out there. But support the good people you like who are doing the heavy lifting, because we need it.
And I say this every day, I'm going to repeat it. The primaries, the primaries, the primaries, the primaries. Find out when the primary is in your district, because that's the only place that conservatives can win. If they don't win in the primary, it's toast for the general. So don't wait till that time. When is the Virginia primary?
Well, it's June or so, and luckily no announcement. I don't have a primary this time, so I'll just have the general coming up in November, but I need to build the team right now, so have everyone spread the word.
All right, Congressman Dave Bratt, 7th District, thank you for being a champion for us on the Hill, Congressman Bratt, and I want to encourage people to pray for you and your family and all the good men, and some women, I don't know very many women, but mostly the men, who are really fighting the good fight on Capitol Hill. Thank you so much. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.